The Red and From Science of Natural Processes, by Frederick Engels. About the author. Frederick Engels is the son of a German textile manufacturer who owned factories in England, became so concerned about fate of textile workers, he published The Condition of the Working Classes in England. He saw the textile worker as a new societal force leading to a rational ordering of social life, superseding capitalism. In collaboration with Karl Marx, Engels produced a number of works in social philosophy, including the Communist Manifesto, which recounts the history of the working class in a dialectical fashion based on materialistic conflict. At the heart of Marxism is this thesis: the modes of production in any society uniquely determine the so-called higher ideologies of politics, ethics, religion, and philosophy. Engels financially supported Marx and edited most of his work. The contribution of the philosophy of historical materialism, the perspective expressed in Ludwig Feuerbach, is generally credited to Engels. About the work. In this reading from the second publication of Ludwig Feuerbach, and the outcome of classical German philosophy, Frederick Engels argues that three recent discoveries in the sciences provide the basis by which all aspects of the universe can be understood in terms of the philosophy of materialism. WHLER's synthesis of urea proves that organic processes are explainable in terms of inorganic processes. The theory of the cell, discovered by Schwann and Schleiden, proves that the physiological basis of all living things is the same, and Darwin's theory of evolution indicates no difference in kind between human and all other forms of life. Finally, the discovery of the mechanical equivalent of heat, that heat is just matter in motion, proved that subjective properties heretofore considered mental qualities are equivalent to material processes. On Engels' proposal, soul, spirit, and ideas are part of the material processes of nature. One arguable consequence of the unification of science, provided by the theory of mechanistic materialism, is the impossibility of the discipline of an ethics based on choice. How could free will be possible in a deterministic and materialistic world? The reading selection from Ludwig Feuerbach. Unification of Science of Natural Processes. Empirical natural science made such an advance and achieved such brilliant results that not only did it become possible to overcome completely the mechanical one-sidedness of the 18th century, but natural science itself was, through the proof of the interrelation existing in nature itself between the various spheres of investigation, mechanics, physics, chemistry, biology, etc., transformed from an empirical into a theoretical science, and by the integration of the results achieved into a system of materialistic knowledge of nature. The mechanics of gases, newly created organic chemistry, which stripped the last remnants of incomprehensibility from the so-called organic compounds, one after the other, by preparing them from inorganic materials, the science of embryology, which dates back to 1818, geology, paleontology, and the comparative anatomy of plants and animals, all of them provide a new material to an unprecedented extent. Three great discoveries, however, were of decisive importance. Transformation of energy and motion. The first was the proof of the transformation of energy, obtained from the discovery of the mechanical equivalent of heat by Robert Mayer, Joule, and Colden. All the innumerable operative causes in nature, which until then had led a mysterious, inexplicable existence as so-called forces, mechanical force, heat, radiation, light and radiant heat, electricity, magnetism, the force of chemical combination and dissociation, are now proved to be special forms, modes of existence of one and the same energy, i.e. motion. We are not only able to demonstrate their perpetual transformation in nature from one form into another, but we can carry out this transformation itself in the laboratory and in industry, and this in such a way that a given quantity of energy in one form always corresponds to a given quantity of energy in this or that other form. Thus we can express the unity of heat in kilogram meters, and again the units of any quantity of electrical or chemical energy in unity of heat, and vice versa. Similarly, we can measure the consumption and supply of energy to a living organism and express these in any unity desired, e.g., in units of heat. The unity of all motion in nature is no longer a philosophical assertion, but a fact of natural science. Life explained by scientific law. The second chronologically earlier discovery was that of the organic cell, by Schwann and Schleiden, of the cell, as the unity, out of the multiplication and differentiation of which all organisms, except the very lowest, rise and develop. With this discovery, the investigation of the organic, living products of nature, comparative anatomy, and physiology, as well as embryology, was for the first time put upon a firm foundation. The mystery was removed from the origin, growth and structure of organisms. The hitherto incomprehensible miracle resolved itself into a process taking place, according to law essentially identical, for all multicellular organisms. Origins of the varieties of organisms. But an essential gap still remained. If all multicellular organisms, plants, as well as animals, including man, grow from a single cell, according to the law of cell division, whence, then, comes the infinite variety of these organisms? This question was answered by the three great discovery, the theory of evolution, which was first presented and connected from, and substantiated by Darwin. However numerous the modifications and details this theory will yet undergo, it nevertheless, on the whole, already solves the problem in a more than satisfactory manner. The evolutionary series of organisms, from few and simple, to increasingly manifold and complex forms, as we see them today, before our eyes, right up to and including man himself, has been proved in all its main basic features. Thereby not only has an explanation been made possible for the existing stock of organic products of nature, but the basis has been given for the announced history of the human mind, for following all its various stages of evolution, from the protoplasm, simple and structureless yet responsive to stimuli, of the lower organisms right up to the thinking human brain. Without this prehistory, however, the existence of the thinking human brain remains a miracle. Origin of life. With these three great discoveries, the main processes of nature are explained and traced back to natural causes. Only one thing remains to done here, to explain the origin of life from an organic nature. At the present stage of science, that means nothing else than the preparation of albuminous bodies from inorganic materials. Chemistry is approaching ever closer to this task. It is still a long way from it. But when we reflect that it was only in 1828 that the first organic body, urea, was prepared by WHLER from inorganic materials, and that innumerable so-called organic compounds are now artificially prepared without any organic substances, we shall not be inclined to bid chemistry halt before the production of albumin. Up to now, chemistry has been able to prepare any organic substance, the composition of which is accurately known. As soon as the composition of albuminous bodies shall have become known, it will be possible to proceed to the production of live albumin. But that chemistry should achieve overnight what nature herself, even under very favorable circumstances, could succeed in doing on a few planets after millions of years, would be to demand a miracle. Scientific materialism. The materialist conception of nature, therefore, stands today on very different and firmer foundations than in the last century. Then it was only the motion of the heavenly bodies and of rigid terrestrial bodies under the influence of gravity that was thoroughly understood to some extent. Almost the whole sphere of chemistry and the whole of organic nature remained an incomprehensible secret. Today, the whole of nature is laid open before us as a system of interconnections and processes which have been, at least in their main features, explained and comprehended. Indeed, the materialistic outlook on nature means no more than simply conceiving nature just as it exists without any foreign admixture, and as such it was understood originally among the Greek philosophers as a matter of course. But between those old Greeks and us lie more than 2,000 years of an essentially idealistic world outlook, and hence the return to the self-evident is more difficult than it seems at first glance. For the question is not at all one of simply repudiating the whole thought content of those 2,000 years, but of criticizing it in order to extricate from within the false, but for its time, and the process of evolution, even inevitable idealistic form, the results gained from this transitory form. And how difficult that is demonstrated for us, by those numerous scientists, who are inexorable materialists within their science, but who outside it, are not only idealists, but even pious, nay orthodox Christians. This completes the reading of Science of Natural Processes, by Frederick Engels, under the new free documentation license. This file in this and other formats, is available on the internet at philosophy.lander.edu.